Welcome back to this episode of Not Your Father's Stocks. Tyler and I are back with some more. Tyler, what's going on?
Well, the stock market is back to all-time highs after we kind of saw a very, I want to say, insignificant dip, but just enough to get investors emotional, right? Because I'm on my Instagram and I see these people flowing in like, hey, my portfolio is down 15%. I'm freaking out. I don't know what to do. And, you know, this is investing, right? And this is why the game is so fun. And it really kind of your perspective of, you know, how the market moves is really, really important. And I just got done reading Jamie Catherwood's financial history lesson. And he talks about in the early 1900s with bicycles booming in popularity and cars, you know, on the horizon, that the prices of rubber bubbled and everybody was investing in rubber because it was going to be the next big thing. And then, you know, as every bubble plays out, you know, investors get too optimistic, they get too excited, and timelines always get extended. And it's always so interesting to me.
We talked about Hofstadter's law the other day, and it's so true. I see it all the time. Now when I'm reading through companies and they're guiding for gross margin expansion and now it's 2022 and things like that, I'm just looking at this like, and it's kind of also just realizing how much I don't know and how much they don't know that they could run into as well.
I was actually thinking about you the other day when I was going through SMSI, because you always cover it so well. You literally know everything about the company.
And you can still miss it. Miss so much.
But it's not so, like, in my investing, is my style of investing is so reliant on the bet that I'm placing. And I was going through my notes and I went all the way back, because I'm, you know, I one thing as a shareholder that I do not like, I don't like getting diluted. I don't want to see the shares increasing. I don't really, you know, I think, you know, like we're saying, timelines get extended. Growing a business is really hard. And I've been fortunate because I've been doing this for kind of a long time that, you know, I always read stuff that ends up being bullshit. And it's like, is the company going to grow? Yeah. Is it going to grow at the rate that we think it is? There's so many ups and downs, and stub toes happen, and, you know, coronavirus happens. Like, these things happen in investing. There was Ebola, there was Corona. Like, it's just, it's like every 4 years there's something, and there's going to be something in the future that knocks stuff down to cheaper prices and extends the time horizon, makes, you know, life is difficult and business is difficult. But, and that's why I'm so reliant on the bet that I'm placing. And I'm going through SMSI's offering, and then I go back to my notes in the very, very beginning. And I bought my first shares at, you know, $160 million for the whole business. I look at my notes and I like, well, did I like the management team when I made the bet originally? No. And, you know, do I love them now? No. Did I start to like them? Yes. I started buying into, you know, everything. And, you know, just like, we like to think we know everything and we like to change the way we feel. And, you know, naturally that happens as humans. You know, you get angry, you get happy, and we do that.
And for reasoning.
Yeah, we always, everybody wants to have a reason. And, you know, that's why I'm so reliant on the bet value. And, you know, when I go back to my original notes, it's like, I buy at 385. And did I like management team? No. Was I skeptical? Yes. You know, it was very average on a lot of things, but there were things that really stood out to me that I really thought were juicy and had a chance. So when I get upset now at the company, I kind of just go back to those original notes and I'm like, well, you know what? I priced all of this into my bet anyway. So really I shouldn't be, you know, in a frenzy or anything. You know, this was priced in. And, you know, then I ask myself, am I comfortable letting this bet play out? And, you know, fact of the matter is I haven't sold any of my shares. I own these shares, not my first exit price is like $6.16 or something like that. And I've let them ride, right? Because I have conviction, as we call it. And
you know, now they offered above that price too.
Yeah. So, and it's like, okay, you know, I'm really not in bad position at all. I have a really nice cost basis. Like, I have a significant position. It's like 20% of my, you know, net worth basically. And, you know, it's not terrible to let this thing ride. Like, people investing is so silly, as we see, like in the rubber bubble, like it obviously didn't play out. And EV vehicles, like that bubble isn't going to play out for the guys that are buying obviously at the top. And I think we're going to see, you know, maybe even an SMSI where we get lucky and people just see, you know, $100 million in revenue in a couple of years and, you know, that fat gross margin. And they do want to pay, you know, 45 times earnings. And, you know, we do, you know, make money. And that's just how the market is playing the game right now. Whereas I kind of look at it like, if I buy the business at $160 million, like while I'm holding this business, like I want the business to make $160 million. And SMSI was going on that route, right? The retained earnings went from, I don't know, like 230 million to, or negative 230 million to like, you know, negative 220 million. And that's what I always kind of look for when I read the financial statements. Like, are we heading in the right way, right direction? And, you know, that's how I gauge it. And, you know, I still think that there's a pretty good chance that these guys can eat away at that over time. But do I really know if, like, you know, any day of the week, Google can come in and make a deal with, actually, I think Google has a deal with Sprint and T-Mobile already with this Google Fi program that they have. I mean, they could totally offer a safe app and whatever. And, you know, that could be a major blow to what we're thinking. But, you know, if you rely on the, it's a game of risk reward. So it's really important to rely on that bet that you make, in my opinion. And that's how I kind of go about the process.
I think what happened with the offering is that it definitely decreased downside risk, but it ultimately capped upside reward as well. Simply due to the customer diversification, we have all these new customers now that are currently with a family safety app that is inferior. They're obviously going to move over to the superior app, and it's not going to cost them anything to move to the superior app. More customers that do the marketing for SMSI, but they didn't win them organically. It cost the shareholders. There was another point to how I had to, how it capped our upside, but it just slipped my mind.
Well, yeah. And we have more shares outstanding. But one of the things too, that I wrote down in my risk when I was just reviewing my sheet the other day was one, I was like, you know, big risk. And if we lose Sprint, we're toast. But that risk has now, like you said, been eliminated because we are a lot more diversified.
Yeah. They also named they said Family Mode 3.0, like it has a name now with T-Mobile, and they're meeting on a daily basis. And at this point, it doesn't matter because they don't have anywhere else to go. The only other offering they had to go to was Avast. So now when AT&T's up for renewal, where are they going to go? What are they going to do, just stop offering a family safety app when these products are obviously heating up?
And I don't know if you saw the blog post that I put in the SMSI tab last night.
No, I didn't see that.
They write a blog, and I like to follow the companies, excuse me, the companies that I hold. I like to follow their blogs and see like what content they put out, because some businesses put out like absolute trash. SMSI's blog is pretty good. Like, I kind of like it. I think that they put out some valuable content.
I've read some in the past.
Yeah. And some of these blogs that businesses write are good. What's the other one? I think it's NTIC has a pretty good blog where you actually read it and you learn some things. And those are like the types of businesses that I like to be investing in, because I feel like they are focused on, you know, getting better. When, like, the blog that they wrote the other day on how to, it's like app store optimization. Like, these guys are thinking about the right things. And that's what's important, kind of, as a shareholder, that, you know, I want to see my businesses continue to dig that moat? How can they separate themselves from the competition? And
it's a growing competitive advantage, not just competitive advantages. They have to be growing competitive advantages.
And you know, if they're thinking about the right things, then yeah, you know what? I'm totally cool. You know, like I am totally the type of coach that wants to invest in the player that, like, you know, works his ass off at the field and, you know, is doing what it's not like there's two different types of work, right? There's what we call eyewash and there's like actual work that's going to get you better. And, you know, I hate eyewash. Like, I think it's such a joke. Like there's so much eyewash shit out there. Like when I played college baseball, there used to be these kids that would do these like dumbass, you know, band exercises and, you know, like go crazy over this, like what I would think is relatively petty shit. Like who cares how well you do your band exercises if you can't throw a strike, dude? Like drop the bands and go throw, you know, at a glove until you can throw a strike every time, because that's what's going to get you onto the field. It doesn't matter if you throw hard, if you can't throw a strike, you're never going to play. So like what you're doing is, you know, eyewash. And that's just how I always thought. And I would always see kids, you know, come and go, unlimited potential, right? It's like, you don't need to throw any harder, dude. You're focusing, your focus is you're allocating your time in the wrong way. You know, you could get so much better if you turn your head the other way and practice this. And then you have guys that like, it's just like, this is the world. And a lot of people don't know which way to look.
Where to focus.
Where to allocate your time and energy. Yeah.
I was on a Zoom call, I think it was like 3 or 4 or 5 months back now, with Tim and David, which is their chief technology officer, was on. And he couldn't really give us anything. He said, basically, they said in the conference calls, I think not this past one, but the, what would that have been? Q3 call or Q2 call, that there were these different implementations that were being added into the family safety app with T-Mobile that are like things that we haven't heard of yet. And that's kind of also part of what's been delaying their process with that. But he was already talking about SafePath 8.0. like 5 months ago at that point. So he was on the ball, because I think SafePath 7.0, I mean, it's launched, it's ready to go. It's in Orito Omen now. US Cellular is ready to launch. They ran into a trademark issue. Like that's part of the unknowns that we were just talking about. Like they literally, US Cellular had Family Compass website, like under their own domain on their website. And then they ran into a trademark issue that is now delaying the launch. And it's just, those are all the things that you can't account for.
Okay.
You're completely blind to that. At least I was like, holy hell, who would have thought?
A couple of things. Okay. One of the main reasons I wanted to try and, you know, create a business was to learn these things that actually go on in business. I read many times that, you know, owner operators are really good investors because they understand how business works at a different level than a lot of investors out there. Like there's fund managers that just, you know, don't get it. They just, you know, think it's all about crunching numbers, but you have to meet these expectations. You have to meet these timelines and stuff like that. And putting yourself, you know, as the manager is difficult. And one of the things that we're seeing is, okay, one, I want to get on Amazon. I think it's really important to get, I think just for every regular person, you know, I'm going to start something, you know, with like, aside from Augury, it's like a more of a charity thing. But anyways, like these platforms are growing, like Facebook, YouTube, like if you're not on these platforms, just like doing something, you're really missing out on, you know, some people think that the internet is only in the second and third inning. And I don't necessarily buy into that, but I know that the internet is not going anywhere. And, you know, everybody should be on here doing something, like do what you know, I would say do what you love, but also do what you're good at. And you know, go play with these platforms because they're so incredibly powerful. Like we've recognized, right? Just by having an Instagram page, look at all of the awesome people that we've connected with that you would never have connected with because, you know, we have Augury and we have this page and we all have this similar interest in investing. And it's so incredible, right? So I'm really a big believer on using all of these platforms. To get us onto Amazon, I think is extremely important. I don't just want the journal listed as, you know, a book on Amazon. I want to have a storefront. I want it to make the storefront look appealing to new customers, you know, build something that people feel comfortable walking into, right? Because you're talking about investing and I've people are kind of like me, you know, I'm not just throwing my money around. Like I want to know that I'm buying a good product. I want to know that I'm, you know, investing wisely. I care about, you know, the risk to reward, I guess, in everything. So one of the things that we run into right now is this, the trademark approval with Amazon. Like it's been a couple weeks now and I still have not gained any ground on it. And I don't really understand what's going on, why I'm having difficulties, because I have all the trademarks. I have all of the copyrights for the journal and everything. So I don't understand what the deal is, but it's just like, something's going on and I can't, you know, get it nailed down to get this product on Amazon. And it's like, okay, I thought this was going to be done, you know, at the end of February. Now we're halfway through March and I literally have gained no ground in 2 weeks on this stupid trademark deal with Amazon. And I understand Amazon's huge, but they actually have phenomenal customer service. Like I'm talking to this guy on the email.
It's super great.
And I'm like, what do I have to do? I literally, the most recent email, I said to him, what do I need to do specifically to get this done? And it's like, you know, I'm going to get an email. Hopefully I'll get an email tomorrow with like step one, step two, step three.
Yeah.
It's hopefully done. But yeah, it's like, you know, these running, you know, you're running into so many different obstacles. And I was actually talking to my buddy. He works at an investment bank. And I had sent him a journal and he got the journal and he was like, dude, this product is so awesome. Like I totally get
it. That's all the feedback I've gotten from too. I seek negative feedback and there's been nothing. I haven't got anything.
Yeah. Like a lot of the, Ben Franklin says, you know, be who you say you are. And like, I literally like you guys, I mean, if you come into my office, like I have these sheets just piled up of different stuff. And like, you know, I love filling them out. Like I literally love the process of that. And that's why I think the journal is a pretty good product, is because it is true. And, you know, if you actually put in the work and do it, like you're going to be
better
doing the right like it's the right process and it works. And you know, he's like telling me, he's like, yo, I want to put an order in for, you know, can we do a deal? I could put an order in and I want to send these to, we went to UNF together. We played baseball. He's like, I want to get this into like all of the seniors' hands as soon as they graduate, you know, because I think this is definitely going to help them, you know, indefinitely throughout their adult life. Like, I wish I had this when I was right out of college. And I was like, yeah, dude, whatever we want to do, you know, like we have full power, like we can do whatever we want. So let's make that happen, because I too think that kids should have this. And he's like, then he starts asking me about all these questions. And he's like, would you be ready if you like hit on Wall Street bets and got sold out immediately? And I was like, I would like tell him, I'm like, dude, I wish that would happen, because the Augury Journal 2.0 is so badass. Like, I can't wait to get it out. I was like, I would be scrambling to like actually get it in order, but all the pages are already designed. And all I got to do really is like 3 days of, you know, like 3 days and maybe 10 pots of coffee and I can get that sucker ready and, you know, out ordered in Asia.
Well,
and
it's easy because it's what you do. It every day. So it's, just
and I'm always, you know, trying to, And I love to try to get better too. Like I edit the process. You know, I add functionality to the process to make it smoother. I have new stuff. You know, I even actually have my process is like, so I'm on Augury like 3.0. Everyone else is on Augury 1.0. But yeah, my Augury process 3.0 is actually, I think it's actually even better than Augury 2.0, but it's, you know, it's still has some, I mean, I could probably actually put this into the new one and make Augury 2.0 that much better. But yeah, it's like, and it's fun for me. Like I like the designing. I like watching, you know, Ryan from Shadow Investing. Like I love watching like how he visualizes it. And I think it's super cool. And I like listening to, you know, Annie Dukes and what's the other, James Clear, like,
yep.
The different processes that go on inside their brains is like super interesting to me. And you, and I read Munger and Franklin. And it's like, it, the most amazing thing to me is reading Ben Franklin and just, you know, this guy was writing this so long ago. It's so relevant today.
Everything, yeah, I know. That's what I always think when I read older material too, because it's just it's a completely different world, but the principles are still the same.
You know why? And
the people who can stick to those principles from those times are like that. You know, when you meet those people, they're like the highest integrity people you meet because they're still on those principles that were in 1800.
And the thing that, you know, it's not surprising that these things that Ben Franklin writes about apply. And same with Ben Graham. They all apply because humans, we don't evolve that fast. We all have these algorithms that are just, you know, humans are extremely complex. Like I said, the ant has like 12 algorithms. The human has like, let's say 50,000, right? We're infinitely more complex, but we don't evolve that quick. You know, I'm reading the Jamie Catherwood from the 1900s and he's talking about the rubber bubble. And I literally, you know, the same exact behaviors are going on 100 years ago that go on, in, you know, or 120 years ago are going on today.
I was talking about this with someone else recently, and it because when you recognize these things, it makes you feel so small. It kind of makes you realize that you're just a bunch of chemicals, especially after I was reading Jordan Peterson's book. And there was like this one example of like, if a guy gets shamed in front of other girls, like she makes him like feel lesser, you know what I mean? It's not anything specific like how he feels. It's that what she's doing is when she's shaming him in front of other girls, and it's like relationship wise or sexually or whatever, all she's saying is that this man isn't good for reproductive purposes, and that's why the shame happens there. It's not because of it. Well, it also combines in with your social hierarchy, where you are in the social class, but she knocks you down on the social class, which knocks down your reproductive like purpose, yeah. I guess.
Your reproductive like appeal.
Yeah, the appeal, that's a good word for it.
Yeah, and I what else was I reading? I've been really interested. My curiosity has been flowing through, you know, psychology, behavior, and I don't really like to reach to like for new stuff. I like to reach for old stuff. And, you know, who is the greatest? I just got this book on marketing. I haven't gotten it in the mail yet, but I cannot wait to read it because it is like, it'll be like reading Ben Graham on investing. And I think that's really important because Ben Graham was like one of the original thinkers on investing. And, you know, his principles are the basis of a lot of what we have today. And, you know, so finding those people in different, you know, areas, I think is really important because, you know, as we see in investing, people have taken Ben Graham and, you know, morphed it into something that has gotten very disconnected from Ben Graham. Some people take, you know, Buffett stuff and morph it into something that's very disconnected from what Buffett. And now there's a lot of basically, I want to say almost error. And people that think they're following something are really being misguided because, you know, over time people did not understand it, you know, maybe we couldn't explain it and, you know, becomes confusing. So I want to get the original source and then obviously think for myself and, you know, apply all of the other stuff that we know from, because we, you know, and the best part as an investor is you learn so much.
And the knowledge you read a 10K,
you learn so fucking much. It's awesome. I literally, like, I used to always imagine myself when I was younger, I always wanted to be rich and I always wanted to, like, have this incredible library at my house. And while I do have a pretty good amount of books and I've read some really good stuff, I wouldn't have thought that most of my education would come from reading 10Ks. And I don't, like, you can't put a 10K on your bookshelf and make it look pretty.
Yeah.
But there's so much information in these things that, you know, I anyone that just wants to learn, and you actually go on Reddit. I've been on Reddit and I'm seeing people like start to understand, wow, there's actually like a lot of facts in these 10Ks and these people, you're talking about people that are running big businesses. If you're listed, you're a huge business. And they just drop straight knowledge on you about this industry. And it's so valuable to kind of,
and it's so straightforward.
It's that
you're not left guessing with anything at all. It says competition, this company. It's that straightforward.
Who are the leaders in this industry?
And everyone's everyone's just on Google looking up like DocuSign competitor and just searching through all Google documents when you could just go and see Adobe, blah, 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 HelloSign, whatever it is.
And the thing is, too, is like these companies pay mad money to like access the best data. And you're getting it for free if you know how to, you know, go through a 10K. And, you know, because I always like look at, I always want to try to find like an industry something, like industry data. And these, like, these reports cost thousands of dollars. And I'm always like, okay, well, this sucks. Okay, who's in this industry? What's their ticker symbols? And, you know, let me go find it that way. And it's like, you can... It's like a loophole almost. It's like if you're running a business, it's a lot cheaper to do it that way. Don't get me wrong. It takes a little bit more time, but I mean, are you going to, you know, sometimes it's like, are you going to make $1,000 in the next 3 days? No. So you just waste the time and just save the money. It's worth it.
I've been noticing the effects of compounding knowledge now recently. I started to feel like, because sometimes when you read stuff from like Morgan Housel, James Clear and stuff, you're like, it's just not just knowledge. That's just wisdom that they have.
Yes.
And there's little things. I don't even have a specific example, but when I'm reading through transcripts and filings, 10Ks and stuff now, it's just knowing immediately where to go, what's important to get to, then being like, oh, that's crap. That's actually decent. That's super crap. And then back and forth. And, but like when you first read, like you don't know how to decipher any of that. So that's just part of the compounding process, is just doing it. I was talking with my girlfriend last night. We're just talking about how I'm just like always so busy and just working on the computer all the time. And I was like, it's this simple. So you guys who can't see us right now, I'm just raising my hand up. There's one hand above the other. There's one hand below. And the top hand is the goal. And it's like, I need to do this, 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 and I'll be here. And so what am I going to do? I'm just going to do this, 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 and this. Like, that's all it is. It's just going to take my, like, that's like pretty much literally everything, building any business at all. It's not that complicated of what you need to do. It's just doing it. People just don't do it. Like, people know to get more healthy that they just need to stop. They just need to reduce the amount of soda they drink. They just need to go for a walk a day, but they don't do it. I don't know.
Because it's the start that stops people.
Yeah.
It's the start of something that stops them. And, you know, it's so easy to, I literally sometimes hate myself because I have this like trigger in my head where it's like, okay, I literally like look at my board and I like to tally. I have a very simple workout regimen and it's just 100 push-ups, 100 sit-ups, 30 pull-ups. And recently I've I have a backpack now with a 25 pound plate because it's really honestly too easy. But it's just not, the point is not to like get super fit. It's just to like, you know, stay semi-active. And, you know, some days I look at, I have a streak and I have a, you know, like every, this is, I'm on 10 for 14 or this is, I haven't worked out today, but 10 for 13 this month. Mm-hmm. So like I'm doing relatively good and I want to make sure that I, you know, hit that enough. And I also post a streak where, okay, I do it for five straight days. And I'm like, usually like, okay, how am I going to break the streak today? Do I want to break the streak? No. So I got to get down and do it. But there's also like this thing where it's like, oh, I got to do this, this, and this. And I look at my workout and I'm like, fuck, like I just got to do it. And I just get on the ground and I just do it. And it's 20, it's 50 pushups and I'm done. Now I'm, the start factor is over. It's already been started. Now I'm 50 pushups invested in it. And now I have that sunk cost kind of as a tailwind. And next thing you know, I got 50 sit-ups in. Now I'm okay. I'm like a third of the workout done. I'm not quitting now. And now next thing you know, I'm done. It takes me 15 minutes and I'm literally done, smoked it right off the checklist. And now I'm on to the next task and I have momentum in my, you know, in my sail. And
I just don't know anybody who's, at least in my personal life, and who you see people who online who are making it to the top of their game that don't participate in exercise, reading, and at least a moderately healthy diet. And I'm just like, if once the, like, once those things are in order, like this definitely, this might sound off topic, but this definitely applies to investing. So with the things you need to do this, this, and this to get to this. So all of a sudden you start setting a bedtime and you start setting a wake up time and you wake up earlier. Then maybe you don't have a purpose yet of what you want to work towards. You don't have a goal, but when you wake up early, now you just have this extra free time and you need to find something to do to fill your time. That is like a certain point where you search for the purpose. And then once you find that purpose, you just stick to, like, it's that little, that easy decision of setting a bedtime and a wake up time that could change the rest of your life. Like having that free time to be able to think to yourself, find a goal, then understanding the goal, and then just finding those little steps that you need to take every day to get to that goal, and just setting a longer, like another, the other issue is everyone has such a short time horizon to reach their goal is the main issue, because it's exercise, it's investing, it's, you want, everybody wants instant gratification, and it's just
not how
you're just going to harm yourself in the long run investing. You're going to lose your hard-earned money, because I mean, if you have money to put into the market, you probably worked hard to get that money in the first place, and then people just go and make rash decisions with that money. Like they worked a year, two, three, four, 5 years and saved that money, and now they're just easily, it's just weird how people make decisions. Like they put in all that time to save that money, now they're willing to just go put it in GameStop.
Yeah, it's
for instant gratification is really what it is.
And this is what, you know, this is kind of like how I think too, which is like, I mean, dude, just like everything in my life has never been like, I never like, you know, woke up with muscles and shit. Like it just doesn't work like that. Nothing ever just gets, you know, nothing falls in your lap. I literally have it on my thing. It's like, you know, people don't realize that you gotta work. When I was in high school, you know, when I was in elementary school, I had this goal to play baseball at University of Notre Dame. Like that was it for me. And there was nothing that was going to stop me from doing that until reality set in when I was a senior in high school and Notre Dame never wanted to recruit me.
Yeah.
But I came pretty close to the goal. You know, instead of UND, it was UNF. But it was still Division I. And, you know, I aimed for the stars and I fell and I, you know, hit the moon. It's not that bad, right? And it paid off great because I actually ended up playing. You know, the way I look at it now is like, I much rather have played for Smoke Laval than whoever the coach was at Notre Dame, because Smoke won championships and I really care. You know, you don't always get the opportunity to hang out with like highly successful people. And in college baseball, the number one goal is to win the College World Series. And I played for a coach that did it two times. And, you know, one is a lot, but two is a lot more. It's double one. And there's some kind of process that works that, you know, he knows, and, you know, he tries to build that process. And, you know, one of the things that I learned from, I probably learned this from my high school baseball coach. He was like this crazy, like, you know, Vietnam War veteran who was also like a karate master in Asia. He lived in Asia, started a karate school in Asia. He like practiced under the number one guy.
Yeah, incredibly disciplined practice. Any martial art, that's what wrestling, right? I can consider wrestling a martial art as well. And yeah, everything's incredibly disciplined.
I would honestly, I wish I probably would like doing something like that. I really love, I've become almost obsessed with like the discipline aspect of things. And my high school coach was like, man, it was amazing watching him. Like, he could be so disciplined. And, it's like discipline is so important. I was actually talking to my grandparents the other day because they got the vaccine and I'm now finally able to see them. So I went over for dinner and they were just talking about, you know, having kids and, you know, raising kids. And they're just like, you know, discipline is so important. And everything. And I'm like, I know, I'm like realizing how important this is. And they're like, you know, if you don't discipline your kids and stuff, like, people wonder why they don't listen. And it's because there's no discipline in the relationship. And I was telling them something that I had read about reciprocation in humans. It's like, we reciprocate naturally. We, you know, you want, I need $15,000. No, I'm not giving you that, but I'll give you one. And that's like, we want, naturally humans try to meet in the middle. So in relationships between parents and kids, the kid wants something, the parent says no, but they give them something. And, you know, saying no and sticking to no is really, really important with parenting, with maybe even all relationships, but especially with yourself. And, you know, I had on Thursday night, I, you know, was doing whatever. And I was like, poured myself a drink. And I was like, you know what? I said I wasn't going to drink during the week this week. I need to stick to that. And I had to pour it out. And it's like, you know what? That is part of being disciplined. It's like, yeah, was that easy to waste? It's because it was actually a nice drink. Like, was it actually an expensive gift of liquor that someone gave me?
I know. I've recently stopped. I used to just drink like one or two glasses of wine a week, like during the weekdays. Then I was just like, why do I really do this? There's no value add for me to do this at all. I mean, it tastes good, but like, I can just drink water. I don't know. And I was just like, there's no added value out of that. And I think that you can just look at almost everything else like that too.
Yeah. And I think, humans like to alter our brain state. And we've been doing it for so many years, and
so do other animals.
Yeah. And that it's a, I don't know what it is, but we just like to do it. Obviously, like I like to have a drink. I like to do the other stuff. Like, it's like natural, but, you know, there is like a sense of discipline that's so important. And I know for me, it's like being able to say no allows me to do that on the occasion. And I know one of my problems is like, I can literally work for, and I had a day last week where I woke up at 5 and I worked till midnight. And I'm like in condition to do that because I do work so much where it's like, that is not really that big of a deal for me. But like, you tell some people that and they're like, dude, you like literally never hang out and like you don't do like social things. And
I just had that conversation with my girlfriend last night. I was like, I definitely need to find a little bit more balance.
Yes.
A little bit more.
And I do too. And I know it's like, I'm realizing how, like, you know, when someone, I've had multiple people tell me like, dude, I haven't seen you in like 2 months. Like, you know, like don't hang out, like you don't go out. And I'm like, yeah, COVID, dude. Like, I'm not getting COVID. And I've been using like all of COVID. Like, I haven't seen anyone. I've just used it as an excuse to not leave my house. And so I can work and work and work.
Yeah, and I know. It's a good excuse too.
And I love, I literally love working. Like, I don't care if it's like, I like designing these tools. I like sitting on Photoshop. I designed the t-shirts. I just like doing stuff like that.
Me too.
Like,
I love a good Saturday night at the desk. Live for it.
Yeah, it's just like, okay, you know what? You do need to stop working and like go take a walk and look at, you know, the trees and shit, and like go spend some time with the dog. Go, you know, go do whatever. Like today, I'm gonna go down to Delray Beach and have a drink with someone for their birthday. And I'm like, yeah, I need to do that. Like, I need to not work all day every day and start. You know, you work hard for a reason. But like, dude, also, like you said, you know, like, I know where my goals are.
Yeah, and you know, right? What you have to do.
I want them so bad that like, I literally, they're just always on my mind. I go to a bar and have a drink with someone, and I'm just like in the back, like.
Yeah, I'm never that present.
I'm like, where's my notebook? I got some good ideas I need to write down. And I'm like, I just like can't shut it off. And until obviously there will be a point in time where I, you know, achieve those goals, and then I can shut it off.
I get uncomfortable telling people like I'll go to work this weekend, that people will ask me what I did, and I just like, I was like, nothing much. Because what am I going to do? Tell them I woke up at 5 a.m. on Saturday morning and got on my computer. Like, nobody can relate to it. Like, everybody sleeps until 10 o'clock on Saturday. And me and my girlfriend wake up at 5 a.m. and get things started. We crush the morning and then just have a little bit of free time on Saturday nights. And same thing Sunday. And that's part of why I like COVID too, is because I don't ever have to go out, but I hate messing up my sleep routine. It's so important to me to be on my sleep routine. Like, I just function so much better. I'm so much better. Mm-hmm. I'm so much more alive. I'm more happy. And then when I get thrown off and I just miss an hour of my sleep, I'm just frustrated. Yeah, I get frustrated with it. I have a soccer game this Monday night at 8:30, and I usually go to bed at 8:30. So I'm just like, and then I found out the rest of the season, the games are at 8:30. And I was like, but then I had the thought of balance. Like, I just play it just for fun with all my friends. I'm not a soccer player. And it's like, am I going to look back in 20 years and be glad that I was just reading a transcript, or like make some memories and like actually do something with
people? And I play in that. I play in a softball league on Tuesday nights. And there are, you know, I know that's the one thing I say on Tuesday night, you know, before the game starts, I can have a couple beers before the softball game. But also I'm like highly competitive. Like, you should, you know, people probably when I'm out there, they're like, dude, what the hell? Like, this guy is nuts. Cause I run the bases like as fast as I can. I play hard. Like, I like to win. Like, I like to talk a lot of shit and I like to win. And like,
that's all I do. I talk so much shit when we play soccer and we're playing like former college soccer players. And I never played soccer, and I'm just like talking shit to them the whole time. They better not wear a number on their back or else they're done. Yeah. They shouldn't show up with a number.
Dude. But like, that makes it so much fun. And like, you know, I just like, that's like when I was in college too. Like, when I was in high school, I did not talk shit. Like, I was super humble and, you know, like, but when I got to college, like, I honestly, you know, I was the smallest kid out there, and I was like, you know, didn't really belong, to be honest, but I'm highly competitive. And, you know, one of the ways that I got onto the field was my coach said something in the locker room, and he was like, you know, we were like, our team like got blown out, and he's like, you know, it looks like none of you guys even want to be out there and doing this. And he's like, it'd be, you know, nice to see someone actually want to be out there. And I kind of took that. And I remember
I've had that talk
going out there one game and just being like, how do I, like, what do I got to do? Cause like, I want to be on the field. Like, I know I don't really deserve to be on the field, like the way I'm performing, but like deep down in my soul, like, I have to be out here on the field. Cause like, I just love playing. And yeah, like, that was like the point in my career where I literally just like, I remember, I don't remember what happened. They were like chirping in the dugout, like when I'm throwing my when I was throwing my warm-up pitches and I first got in the game, they're like I'm throwing my warm-up pitches and the other team's like, throw it slower. And I was like, yeah, how about we see if you guys can get a guy on base today? And I got back in the dugout and my coach was like, whoa, looks like someone actually wants to play. And I was like, okay, like I'm going to start talking a lot of shit. And I throw like 80 miles an hour. I'm like the slowest throwing guy in all of Division I baseball, man. And I was pitching against the number 23 ranked team in the country one day. And I was throwing an absolute gem because the better the team that I play, like I get focused. And like if I'm playing a half-ass team, it's hard for me to like care. But when I'm playing a good team, it's like, oh, this is why we play, to play the best.
Yeah.
And I remember I was throwing a gem and the very beginning of the game, like, you know, they're a good ass team and they're like talking, you know, smack early, and then like fifth inning rolls around and I'm hot. I'm in the zone and I'm like striking guys out and I'm like, yeah, you know, yeah, come back. See you for your last at bat. I'll be waiting for you. And like, oh, like, but the team behind you, my fielders are feeling it now too.
Yep.
And now they're making diving plays. They're helping me. And the whole team energy just absolutely gets lifted. And we're all having fun. And, that's kind of what it's really about.
Yeah. And like, well, let's wrap it up after this. But I'm just thinking this past weekend was Pennsylvania Wrestling State Championships. And it's so that, well, now COVID, there was no fans. But going there, the energy's so intense because you have people who've worked, who've started when they're 4 years old with the goal of being a state champion. And now this is the opportunity. And you can see, like, it happens all the time. It happens in the NCAAs as well. Some kid will have an upset in the first round and just ride that momentum all the way through the tournament to a title who you thought was going to finish like fourth or fifth or whatever. And that momentum just rides up. It's beautiful to see.
There's, I don't know what it is, but I just know, as you know, from being an athlete and playing in some big games in my career, you know, when you show up to the ballpark or the, you know, the stadium, there is like some kind of special energy, like zipping around in there when you have like state championships or conference championships or high ranked matchups. Like there's a different type of energy. And oh my God, I absolutely live for those moments. And like, yeah, I there's like something like a part of me that like cannot resist being in those types of atmospheres. Like I used to love competing at those events, and it's like, you know, I honestly try to create things like that for me in my everyday stuff where it's like you kind of read
on my excited about.
So sometimes when I get like when I know that there's a big opportunity like brewing, I will like say, oh, Game 3 of the World Series tomorrow morning. Can't wait. And like, you know, obviously if I lose that game, you know, it's never really Game 7 because, you know, I'm allowed to lose. And, you know, I don't want to get in the mindset of, oh, can't lose, because that's when you can get hurt especially as a short seller. But yeah, I'll like always say, ooh, Game 4, like I'm ready. And, you know, I can win the series at Game 4. And I can sink the stock and it's game over. I won the World Series. You know, not every playoff goes to Game 7. Some of them are won in four games. So I love to, you know, kind of create that energy for myself and my little environment that I have, you know, because I do just sit and work alone. It's kind of miserable. But so you got to do things like that.
Yeah, I know. That's why having the chat's great. But all right, let's wrap it up here. So that was a good one. That was fun. A little bit of stock, a little bit of sports, a little bit of exercise. Yeah. The Not Your Father stocks are becoming a little bit of everything. Just two guys talking. I hope that you guys enjoy
about Not Your Father stocks.
Yeah. All right, guys. We'll catch you on the next one.
See ya.